Sack.
Hello, and welcome to the Football Sack Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Greenmore. Across from me is Michael Rochek. Hello to you, my friend.
G'day, Matt. How are you going?
Oh, yeah, up bright and early on a Sunday morning, on the desk. Supernova Pete. Now, thank you in advance for all your efforts with the sound effects, mate.
No worries. I'm always happy to help out in any way I can.
Now, boys, it is our 50th show. Can you believe that?
Yay! Happy 50th birthday to us.
Pete, that was a perfect opportunity for you to bring in some cheers.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, when I said thank you in advance for all your wonderful sound effects...
I got told off last week for doing sound effects, though. Okay, so... What, you actually want some sound effects?
Please.
Stop stalling for time.
Now, boys, it's our 50th show.
Hooray!
Boo!
Also, sitting in the studio, he doesn't have a microphone. We tend to like doing that to our guests. Brian Gibson from Australian Football.
So he's waving hello to us. So, hello, Brian. How are you doing today?
Now, Pete, I seem to remember you had a bit of an issue with Australian Football Facebook group, but you said you were not happy with them winning the social media award,
and you said you couldn't
forgive them. No, it's on the record. It's on the podcast.
Yeah, at the moment, Brian's reaching for microphones, trying to get his words in.
How many likes do they have, though? I mean, really, they've earned that award. It's massive. It's huge. Brian's looking at me. He's giving me thumbs up. They're an excellent source of information, and to be honest, somehow I've been living under a rock. I didn't even really know about you guys until football, you know, fans down under awards night, and I've hit the like button, and I've really started to like what information I'm getting from them. So yeah, it's great news.
And we suggest all our followers of the podcast do so also. So check that out: facebook.com/AustralianAussieFootball. facebook.com/AussieFootball. Let's move on to some actual football. Michael Rochek. I'm going to get it right all the time.
In our 50th show.
Rochek, take us through the news.
Alrighty, well, after much deliberation, David Williams has officially signed with the Melbourne Heart. He's penned a 3-year deal which sees him link up with former Victory players Fred and Mate Dugunjic, and I believe that is another player who's gone missing from Sydney FC. Talk was that, well, they didn't really offer him anything, so, you know, it's a bit of a lost opportunity there as well. Melbourne Victory have confirmed Mehmet Djurakovic as head coach for the next two seasons. Francis Awaratifi has been gifted a football director role, which was vacated by Gary Cole, and it's really good to see that happening as well. So, exciting times. Sticking with Melbourne Victory, it's widely speculated that Harry Kewell has agreed to terms with the blue side of Melbourne, or that he's very close to doing so. Word on the street is that a press conference is scheduled for Monday to confirm all the details. So, there's an exciting piece of news and maybe an exclusive for the podcast. I can see Gibbo over there furiously taking notes, so it might be on Australian Football Facebook as well. So Perth Glory have received, they've released veteran centre forward Branko Jelic by mutual consent. The striker scored 7 goals in his 2 years at the club. Ooh. Finally, it appears that Mustafa Aminia's saga continues with Celtic manager Neil Lennon, admitting that he's a fan of the lad and he would fit in well with the club setup. So, there are a lot of people in Scotland with red hair, boys. I think he would fit in quite well there.
Most definitely. And Neil Lennon has come out saying that he's one of those players that he would definitely like to see in his squad. And with the friendly coming up next weekend on the 2nd of July against Celtic, it will be a good competition to see how Mr. Romini will actually go up against Celtic.
And that's the news from Michael. Michael, if you'd said received Branko Jelic, it would have not been in such relevant news. The Football Sack prides itself on how up-to-date we are, and that would have been a few years old.
Yeah. Early in the morning, boys, and I don't even have hot water at my place at the moment for some unknown bloody reason.
Excuses.
So, yeah, I've been eating yogurt and coffee furiously, and I may have received Branko Jelic as well.
And just my other qualm with your news wrap, you said Francis Awaratifi has been gifted the football operations and management role. I'm not sure if gifted is the right word. I think he's probably worked quite hard over the years to get where he's got today.
Yeah, certainly not undercutting Franny's contribution to the game. I mean, a socceroo and played for several NSL clubs and really a stalwart of the world game. It is a shame to see him kind of go, but at the same token, a very interesting opportunity for him, and certainly speaking to him on Beyond the 90, he's really quite excited about what the new role entails. You can hear it in his voice. And, yeah, it'd be great to see his contribution to what is really, as much as we hate and we're at pains to admit it, a very successfully run club.
Yeah, well, best wishes to Francis Waratufi. A lot of people have said that the football sack are biased, and yet here we are talking about Melbourne victory.
There you go,
shove it. Let's move on to our next section.
Can I just say on Francis' appointment, having a chat to him, he's looking to bridge the gap between FFV, VPL clubs, and the victory, so good on you there. Yeah, shall we move on?
Yeah, let's move on to one of our favourite sections, which is... Player Tweets! Excellent!
Yeah.
I'm going to start off. Let's move back to Sydney FC.
Oh, shocking.
That's a surprise.
Look, I'll go first, okay? Michael Zulu sent a tweet the other day saying, "Happy birthday, Lionel Messi, 24 years old today. I'll be that good when I'm his age. Tumbleweed floats past." Bit disappointing because I really do rate Michael Zulu. I think he's a fantastic footballer. Whether or not he'll be as good as Lionel Messi when he's that age, I'm not too sure. But
I think so.
Credit to you, Michael Zulu, anyway.
All right. Now, Pascal Boschart. He is the new signing, new defender for Sydney FC. So I thought I'd check out his Twitter. He's one of the few Sydney FC players on Twitter, along with Scott Jamerson. I think that's it.
And Ryan Grant.
Ryan
Grant, that's it.
And he has said, just back from Utrecht, now picking up, I'm sure he means, my daughter from school, and then to a musical, Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins? Yeah. Is this some Dutch version of Mary Poppins that isn't as good?
Well,
I think it sounds actually better.
Sounds better, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'd like to see Mary Poppins.
I saw Mary Poppins on a couple Fridays ago. It's a great musical, so get along with that. Bit of a plug.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I contacted my Dutch friend and said, well, look, I'm looking to give Pascal a bit of a shout out, a bit of a good luck.
Yep.
So I've got something for you to write up and put as a tweet.
Oh, fantastic.
And it's there on your laptop there.
Oh, can somebody have a crack at saying that? Can somebody put on their best Dutch accent? And maybe I can do it? What do you think? Maybe I was angling for it the whole
Pascal,
time.
Pascal, welkom bin Sydney FC, heel yin succes dum
conditid. That's so bad.
I don't know, mate. It's,
You're making things up. I'm seeing what's written there, and you... Oh, Pete, supernova. Pull your socks up, mate.
Michael, have a go.
I need
please.
Glasses.
All right, I'm going to have a go. Hoi Pascal, welkom bi Sydney FC. Heel veel succes de komende tijd. Which basically means welcome and good luck, apparently. A long-winded version of it.
Okay, so, now with us being comedians, another person who's been fantastic.
We're not comedians.
Okay, we are.
Neither is Massimo Madoka.
Massimo Madoka, he's earned his own Twitter hashtag. It's Mossimo Jokes. Check it out. It's fantastic. Matt, you've got one of the jokes there.
I do.
Have read through his latest joke.
Just be prepared for how lame this is in advance, because we don't want people to switch off the podcast.
Don't switch off. Okay. Costa Barbarousis arrives in Australia to play a game for Brisbane Roar. First thing he sees is a cinema. Feeling like watching a movie, he proceeds to the ticket box and asks the guy for one adult ticket to see Harry Potter. Afterwards, he goes to the line and gives his ticket to allow himself entry into the movie. He then goes back to the ticket box and asks the guy for one adult ticket to Harry Potter again. The guy tells him that he just sold him that ticket a few minutes ago. Costa tells him that he is aware of that, but that the worker at the front of the line tore his ticket in half.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Can we get some cheers?
Yes, we can.
I'll just do the punchline again. But the worker at the front of the line tore his ticket in half.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, the crowd goes wild.
Massimo Jokes. Check it out on Twitter.
Massimo, perhaps maybe sticking to being a midfield dynamo would be your best bet at this point in time.
Exactly.
And that concludes...
Player Tweets! Excellent!
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. The New South Wales Premier League. A bit of news happening there. Firstly, Parramatta. They, after a few weeks of not having a coach... and us putting our hand up to...
And
saying,
us never getting a call.
We didn't get a call.
No.
We thought we could have coached them. We thought we would have done a good job.
Exactly.
But they...
Well, actually, I reckon we would have done a better job than the current guy.
And I'm just going to call... I've got his name here. I'm glad I do, because earlier in the radio show, I forgot his name.
Forgot.
I can edit that out, man. Manny Spanodakis, former St. George and Sydney Olympic coach. good luck to you, mate. I've heard he's a good guy. So
yeah,
great. Now coaching Parramatta FC.
Yeah, and another club which has a new coach, Rochdale City Suns. They sacked Lee Sterry. They've replaced him. We didn't put our name up for that, so obviously...
No, we didn't.
That wasn't really advertised.
We would have if it was advertised.
Yeah, exactly. Looking at how round three ended up, Sutherland Sharks got a 3-1 win over Manly United, Sydney Olympic 1-0 over Blacktown, Bankstown City 1-0 over Rochdale, that was the game that Lee Sterry got the sack from, Bunnyrigg White Eagles got the 1-0 win over Apia Leichhardt, and Sydney United got a 1-0 over Marconi Stallion, so hardly any goals scored that round, but
yeah, so the main,
very close there.
The main game there is that Sydney Olympic defeated Sutherland Sharks, it was the top of the table clash.
No, that was round 14. That's what happened yesterday, mate. I'm talking round 13 from last week. You're a little bit ahead of yourself.
Why are we talking about that?
Because last week we had a really short podcast and we didn't get to
talk about
this. Oh, yeah,
last week was 18 minutes, wasn't it?
Exactly.
We apologize for the 18 and a half minute podcast.
Exactly. So round 14, looking at what happened yesterday, Rochdale City Suns losing out 2-1 to Sydney United, Bunnyrigg White Eagles having a 1-1 draw with Bankstown City, and Sydney Olympic, the game that you're talking about, 2-1 win over Sutherland Sharks. Now you can talk to us and lead us through the game.
This game last night that I was in attendance at, top of the table clash, 2-1 it went down. In the 91st minute, it was decided. Molesky got the goal, a bit of a scrappy goal in the end, but nonetheless, took home the winner, 91st minute. Michael, you were kind of saying similar to Brisbane Roar in that they get the wins all the time, but they don't play like that.
Look, they are a club that really knock the ball around quite well, and when they get into advanced positions, they generally hit the mark. So different style, I suppose, to Brisbane Roar, who just don't seem to lose the ball and are run by Matt Mackay. There really isn't that sort of Matt Mackay position being taken up by any of the squad there. It is a club that likes to win, and they really are winning a lot of games more than they lose. So,
well, Sydney Olympic have just picked up Daniel Severino, who was at Bunnyrigg White Eagles, so fantastic player to pick up there. That he's going to really help out Olympic as they're coming towards the end of the season, especially with Alex Smith, who is on his way out, heading to Gold Coast.
Yeah, and Severino, as Peter Tsokanis said, dead ball specialist. He didn't really make an impact in last night's game. One man that did make an impact was Brett Studman.
Ooh, how short were his short shorts?
Well, we didn't notice that because he was too busy being up front scoring a goal. He's usually a defensive
fantastic
player.
What was his celebration like?
I think he was a bit lost because he didn't really know what he was doing because he doesn't score that often. Never this season so far. So it was okay, I guess, for a man without direction.
Yeah.
So he ran off in the wrong direction, sort of, I don't know, down the street and sort of sat down in the
curb.
At
least he didn't turn around to you. It was like an own goal. I was like, oh, no, I've just scored. But,
Cool. Every player ran to him because they would know how much it means to him. They basically just tackled him to the ground. It may have been to the ground or it was basically he got lost in the amount of players that tackled him.
Fantastic to hear.
As you said, all the other results covered. Sydney United come up again. I think they
got a 2-1
above,
win over.
But with that, I believe they jump into second place above Sutherland Sharks. No, I believe you're kind of going, I don't know if that's true, Matt, but I'm going to say that's true.
Sure thing, sounds good.
Again, professional heights.
Yes. Yeah. No, so Olympic first, Sydney United second, Sutherland Sharks in third place now.
Fantastic. So just to wrap up the Waratah Cup quarterfinal as well, major upset of the competition was State League Division 1 side, Mounties Wanderers FC, defeating Sydney Olympic 3-2 in extra time. South Coast Wolves came from behind to earn a 3-1 win over Parramatta FC. Blacktown Spartans managed to get a 2-0 win over Premier League side Apia Leichhardt Tigers. And Cromer Park was the light during the week as Manly United played out a 2-1 win over Hills Brumbies.
That's beautiful. And with that, we are going to throw the microphone over to our special guest who's with us today from Australian football, Brian Gibson. Now, we didn't tell him we were going to do that. So, Brian, can you just take us away with a bit of Women's New South Wales Premier League?
Oh, boy. As we approach round 15 of the competition, there have been 324 goals hitting the back of the net.
That's a lot of goals.
Illawarra Stingrays remain top of the table.
More goals than we're kicking on this podcast.
Stop interrupting, this is my show. The Stingrays remain top of the table, having scored 59 goals and only conceding 7. And our adopted club, Southern Branch, sitting 11th on the table with 7 goals in 15 games. That's not looking the best. having let 85 goals slip through.
I think Australian football next season will be going for the podcast of the year, will you? Take that award off us as well.
I think we'll leave that on to you guys.
Yeah, it's pretty much yours to take any time you want to start a podcast.
And the Spartans remain winless at the bottom of the table. They have won just... they've only got 1 point next to their name, having lost 11 of their games this season.
Cool, the Spartans. Come on, step up. Thank you, Brian.
I'm out of here.
Do you not didn't like that? Weren't happy on the microphone? Thank you very much, Gibbo. We're just giving you a bit of friendly stick. We're not disappointed at all that we didn't get the social media award.
No, why would I? No, not at all.
All right, that concludes the week's talk on all things New South Wales Premier League. Next up, we'll do a bit of a chat about the leagues across the country.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports, and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
I love that promo.
How cool is that?
Thank you to Danielle who did that for us. Before we go on to the state leagues across the country,
yep,
we've got a bit of a sponsor.
Do we?
Well, you should know that.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Who is our sponsor, actually?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that, Pete. North Coast Football Academy. They do 21-day football tours of the UK.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. How do I go? Like, how do I get along to this? How do I get involved?
You're not on the North Coast, but you don't have to be.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So anyone can attend. You don't have to be with the Academy. It's these tours. They include flights, insurance, accommodation, all meals. You get to go to some Premier League matches. You get to play some reserve games. Referee if you want to. It's for players and referees. So you could do a bit of that. Would you like that, Pete?
Yeah, that sounds pretty awesome. Like, how can I get involved with this? Like, where do I find out more information about this?
That's a really good question, Pete.
Thank you.
I can tell you that. If you go to our website, www.thefootballsack.com, footballsack.com, you can click on our ad at the top of the page.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and then follow that through. And sign up for some football tours, 21-day tours around the UK.
That sounds brilliant.
Doesn't it?
Fantastic. Thank you very much for that.
No worries. Let's move on.
Victorian Premier League. Let's have a look at... I'm not going to call them Mexico south of the border because I think that's a bit wrong. So round 17 saw some fantastic results. St. Albans Saints getting a 6-2 win over VTC. That lifted Springvale off the bottom of the... Not Springvale. St. Albans, they were bottom of the table. Now they're not.
Put Springvale on the bottom, doesn't it?
Yes.
So St. Albans, yes. At this bottom of the table, they're a very, very slim chance of avoiding the bottom place, and they get relegated.
Exactly.
So because VTC are at the bottom, but VTC cannot get relegated.
Yes.
And with that 6-2 win, good luck to them. They're 6 points behind Richmond and Melbourne Knights, but they do have both teams to play. So there's everything to play for. If they get those two wins, they could avoid it.
Yeah. You know? Other results which happened in round 17, Oakley Cannons getting a 1-0 win over Heidelberg United. Dandenong Thunder getting absolutely thumped by Northcote City, 6-0. No one really expected that one, that's for sure.
6-0, and that's a far cry from when they were at top spot.
Exactly.
6-0.
Yep. Things have changed for Dandenong.
So they're now Dandenong are now in eighth place.
Yes. They've slipped down a long way down that table.
From first to eighth.
Yes.
In the space of a few weeks.
Are we going to get our CVs in there, boys, when the time comes? We've got to be ready for this. I mean, we've had pretty poor effort, you know, and conversion rate so far.
Exactly. I've already got my CV lined up and ready to go, so it's just waiting for the one day when I can post it, and I'm sorted.
What are our best results on Football Manager? Have we got, have we won anything yet?
Yeah, well, I won 3 seasons in a row with Leeds. So,
wow, that's pretty impressive. Did you keep Neil Kilkenny?
Definitely. Yeah. Why would I get rid of Neil Kilkenny?
Yeah, well, he just signed for Bristol City. What's going on there? I mean, was that wasn't you.
No, it wasn't me.
Good, good.
I personally would not get rid of Neil Kilkenny, but...
I just say, we would be really great at speed dating or perhaps internet dating, where you put out blanket emails to 50 women. Or if 50, you talk to 50
maybe
women
that's
in
assume
a... That. Go with me here. Go with me.
Where are we going?
Talk to 50 women in one of these speed dating things. You're bound to get one.
Right.
So if we apply for 50 jobs, we're bound to get one of them.
I see. So drawing the two strands of thought together, we got to the point where we're going to get a football coach.
Okay.
Just like, the
last two results to talk about, we've got Hume City, who managed to get a 4-0 win over Grand Gully Cavaliers, and Richmond City getting a 2-0 win over Springvale White Eagles.
Hume City are now, I believe, either
top of the table.
Top of the table?
Yeah, they're top by goal difference.
Yeah.
Hume City and Oakley Cannons. They both have 36 points. The difference is Hume City have a plus 21 goal difference, while Oakley Cannons only has plus 10.
Can we talk about our very own Scott Condon, the Condo, and his views on that? That he believes that Hume City are going to go all the way.
Yeah, not surprising. They're starting to pick up their steam. They're hitting some form at the right time of the season as well.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because only a few weeks ago we were saying Dandenong Thunder, or Christian Leyland, just throwing it, it wasn't us, it was Christian Leyland, proclaimed to
actually,
all of Australia.
I proclaimed it as well.
You did as well?
Yep, I said
well,
Dandenong
I said
Thunder,
Sydney
best
Olympics.
Club in the A.
You,
oh,
suck,
best
up,
club in
you suck up to the Chief of Staff.
because Brian Gibbo Gibson from Australian Football, sitting in the, over in the corner there, he did put out a poll on Australian Football that said which state league club is the best club in the country, and we've got our views. Gibbo, you've seen the results of that poll. What happened there, and who do you believe is the best state league club in the country?
It'd have to be Sydney Olympic, wouldn't it?
A bit biased there because we just talked to the coach.
I can't actually remember the results of that poll, but Sydney Olympic are doing all right at the moment. I think they're...
In the press box last night was a brother of Arthur Pappas, the coach of Oakley Cannons, and he believed wholeheartedly that the competition level is greater down in the Victorian Premier League. So possibly Hume City, Oakley Cannons are up there.
Yeah, no, for sure. Look, it really is that really interesting thing with the FFA Cup. You know, I think the sooner we open this sort of competition up, the better. There are a lot of good young players coming through these systems and a lot of elder statesmen who could really, I believe, match it with the best in the A-League. So we're still here waiting, Mr. Buckley. We want it to happen very soon.
Exactly. So if you're listening, Ben Buckley or anyone from FFA, just... give us a call or send us an email.
What do you mean if they're listening? I'm pretty sure everyone from the FFA, they tune in.
Well, there you go.
Okay. Every week.
They stop work. Monday morning, 9 a.m. That's how they start the week.
Okay, you can get in contact with us, sending us an email, info@thefootballsack.com. Send us a tweet. It's twitter.com/thefootballsack. Facebook, facebook.com/thefootballsack.
Please do that because
yeah,
we'd love
send us
to
a message.
Hear what your thoughts are on... some of whatever we're talking about on the show. If you've got something you'd like to talk about on the show, let us know.
Well, one thing that we wanted to talk about on the show was if you could improve one thing about the A-League, what would it be? I sent this tweet out last night, got a couple of replies straight away. One of them being from Miss Sydney FC saying more advertising to ensure bigger crowds.
And that's going to happen.
Exactly. Socks.
Check. We'll check that off.
Exactly.
Did someone say my name?
Socks of Iron on Twitter said, bring back the Fury. As much as I wish that would happen, I don't think it's going to.
Going to cross that off. Can't do that.
Lewis Petonis said, allow for two marquee players instead of one.
That's
already... which is kind of funny because it's actually already have two marquees
already
in the A-League.
Check.
Just, so, we check.
Just rubbished one of our fans.
Exactly.
Lewis,
Brigden 45 said, introduce promotion and relegation into the A-League.
Can't do that.
Yeah, it's a bit tough.
We'll cross that off. Well, yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, they did actually talk about it, and it's something the AFC really value quite highly, and they'd give us an extra Champions League spot if we were able to do that in some way. It's just a matter of how you calibrate that and how an A-League club would survive a drop and where the hell they would go.
That's right. We can't sacrifice A-League clubs for the sake of getting one more Champions League spot.
Two more tweets, which I think are most important.
Well, I'll check them across them. Just
yeah, sure. C. Gassy Football sent in to say, if I could change one thing about the A-League, it would be the $6.40 mid-strength beers at Amy Park.
Mm, yep.
Yeah, we'll check that. We know how that feels. And Andrew Finch 91 said cheerleaders. He wants to see cheerleaders at the A-League.
Yeah, interesting that one. I think, I mean, we probably wouldn't mind seeing it occasionally, but it was at the very inception of the A-League, they expressly came out and said, yeah, not going to happen, because it's just kind of weird, all the old blokes at halftime with binoculars. And quite honestly, that's what happens. It is just a little bit bizarre. And, I think it's a bit more family-friendly not having those people with pom-poms. It's just quite American as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, come on. They're at every NRL game. And the fan forum at Perth Glory recently has said that they won't bring back the cheerleaders. I would personally like to check that off the list to bring them back.
It's a bit 1950s, though. It's like just hotties with pom-poms just like doing repetitive dance movements. It's a bizarre one.
You could always get the like in the Sydney Kings matches, we get the boys hip-hop dancers at halftime.
Yeah, maybe some Brazilian, maybe some capoeira or the samba or something like that. That'd be something relevant to us and that'd be interesting.
Yeah, well, something which worked at Brisbane Roar was bringing in the Brazilian drummers and the South American people with the drums and,
yeah, in the den
all
there.
That kind of stuff. That worked for them, so hopefully we'll get to see more of that happening. Yeah.
It's an important thing, the match day experience. And look, Sydney's done a fair few things here and there, but they haven't really stuck with anything. They had DJs, they had some kids with some amazing skills that you'd like to really see from guys like Terry McFlynn, but
probably, on your own feet.
Probably the one thing that I love most about going to A-League games is watching the little kids play at halftime and scoring those goals. The Cove goes crazy as soon as we see these goals scored. I know when I was at Amy Park and I got to see little kids playing on there, the whole blue and white brigade, they went crazy watching these little kids.
Blue and white?
Because I was at a Melbourne Victory game, remember?
Gotcha.
And I've seen a couple of games around the places, Central Coast and Newcastle, they also have the little kids playing. And it's just fantastic to see grassroots work between the A-League club as the local community. That's fantastic to see.
Yeah, it is good. And I think the other thing, the halftime experience, Hyundai's kind of monopolised that a little bit with their random running in a Zorb ball every single game. Yep. I mean, there's only so many times that that's interesting, and these days it's just not.
There's got to be something else you can do, Hyundai and FFA.
Great supporters of our game. Great support. Don't get us wrong. Without them, there'd be basically nothing. I drove home in a Hyundai Getz from Orange during the week, and it was in snow, so it went quite well.
Yeah. How was the air conditioning, the heater? Did it work well for you?
Well, there were five burly blokes in this car, or at least, there was one woman.
How was the space?
The space was an issue, admittedly, but the Getz got us there. The Getz got us there, and that should be a tagline. Fuel economy, second to none. We filled up once, and I got to stop this. I feel dirty.
The Hyundai Getz, it gets you there.
I think we've already got a sponsor. We need to stop this. North Coast Football Academy. If you could have driven me home, that would have been awesome, but you guys do a great job, and hopefully we can get across to England sometime with you guys.
Well, other things which are awesome, I'm just putting a nice little segue here. We've got a bunch of wraps of what's been going on in the Queensland State League, in the Victorian Premier League, the South Australian State League, WA Premier League, the whole load of football, basically. Just jump on our website, footballsack.com, and you'll find out all these reviews, as well as a very interesting article, an interview with Sasha Oshanovsky.
Those interviews we're doing with high-profile players, we're getting a bunch of interviews in the next few weeks on new players, new signings around A-League clubs across the country.
Yeah, well, Mel Dinjaski had an interview with Alex Smith the other day.
Yeah, and
so
that will be up soon.
We'll have that article up soon for you.
All right. Let's move on now quickly to the WA All Flags State League. We haven't talked about that in a little while, but Balcatta, last week, if we're going to be talking about last week results, as Pete has done due to our 18.5-minute podcast that we had last week, and we apologise for that, they lost last week. They're top of the table, and they lost to Bayswater 3-2.
Good gosh, that's crazy. What was the result, though?
3-2.
3-2.
Didn't you not just...
Far out, that's close, mate. What? That's crazy.
But again, tell us the scoreline, Matt.
Yeah, what was the score?
Did you want to know the result?
I'd love to know the result, thanks.
We haven't said it yet. What was the score? Tell them the score.
Balcatta lost 3-2.
That's crazy. That's amazing. And what
you know, that's only their third game that they've lost this season. So, today, at 3 p.m, by the time you're listening to this, it may have already happened, but Floreat Athena are facing Balcatta. And Floreat Athena, they've been jumping the ladder quite well. I mean, they were, a few weeks ago, bottom. And now, doing all right.
And we still maintain that's thanks to Dave from That Was a Goal. Once he left the club, things got better for Floreat Athena. So thank you very much for leaving
good
club,
job,
Dave.
Yep.
Thank you very
much. Took one for the team, quite literally. Third place, Western Knights. They were defeated last night by fifth place, Stirling Lions. Earlier on in the season, Western Knights, they were well placed to compete for first, second spots by the end of the season. But now they've had an up and down season, really, and so have Stirling Lions. They've won as many games as they've lost. But Knights, they've lost this week, drawn a couple in the past few weeks. They're not going to keep third spot, I don't think.
Yeah, it's a bit open for other clubs to jump in there. Anything can happen in Football West. The competition is so close at the moment.
Oh, my goodness. Because we didn't have an All Flag State League wrap this week, unfortunately. So I jumped on the Football West website. Bit hard to navigate.
Yeah.
I couldn't find where I was going.
Yeah,
so Football West, I know That Was a Goal podcast has asked you to fix the website up, so we're going to second that.
Yeah.
We're going to second that motion. Can I get a third, Michael?
We're not saying that you have to fix it. We're putting the suggestion out there to say it would be rather lovely if you could fix it up a little bit, make it a bit easier to see, understand, and so on. So that would be really, really great if you could do that, please.
Yeah, it's one of the major ways that a lot of the fans connect with the game, and there are a lot of fans out there who, if it was thrown to them, would be very happy to take on that responsibility to redesign a website. So something to think about.
All right.
Let's just finish up with some shout-outs.
Yeah.
Because obviously we have to thank Football New South Wales, Mark Stavroulakis, Bruce De Silva, and the rest of the team there, who continue to do fantastic stuff.
Good job,
follow
you guys.
Follow them on Facebook, so that's New South Wales Premier League.
Yep. Who else, Pete?
We've got Football Victoria, as well as their podcast.
On the Bench.
So check their podcast out. It's pretty awesome.
They said they're going to be competing for a place.
We've also been putting in a few stints on the training pitch as well, and really this is the off-season, and we're absolutely serious about this. We're going to take it out, so just step off.
All right, that's all the shout-outs we've got time for. That's about all we got time for in the show. Michael, Pete, it's been a pleasure as always. Brian, thanks for coming into the studio. Make sure you all listen to the boys on the Friday show. They need a few more listeners out there in Lismore. They go in-depth with the A-League and national team football. See you later, guys.
That was the Football Sack podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.